This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Friday, December 25th, 2015, The Nativity of Our Lord Jesus Christ, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is well pleased. May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A blessed Christmas to you all. When we read those words, and we hear them quite frequently, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among men, we hear that every time we come to a Sunday Mass, every time it's a feast day, it is an angelic declaration of our reconciliation with Almighty God. It's interesting to see when you kind of parse this down a little bit, what's actually going on? Because we hear it so often. It's one of the things that we hear so often that we can lose sight of the fact of what is actually being said. Or do we ever really think about something that we hear so often? Well, we should, because particularly given this day, we are to focus on what has been done for us. It bears truly to pay attention to what these angels are declaring. That is our nothing less than our reconciliation with God. It's interesting to see, some of the nuances that are going on here. In the Old Testament, for something to be validated, there had to be two or three witnesses that made it valid, any kind of a claim. It's interesting, when messages come from heaven, generally it suffices to have an angel give the message, an angel declare something. Zechariah, about the coming of John the Baptist, the angel Gabriel. And Gabriel alone, Zechariah being somewhat a little incredulous, as we heard a couple weeks ago, the angel makes him a mute until what he has said comes to fulfillment. You don't question the angel when the angel talks to you. Okay? The Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, this is the Annunciation of our Lord Jesus Christ coming. You would think, this is really, really important. One archangel and the Blessed Virgin Mary, and he makes the announcement that when our Lord Jesus Christ truly comes, when he is born for us in Bethlehem, not only two or three witnesses, an angel appears to the shepherds, and then, as we heard, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. That communicates the tremendous nature of this event. What is going on Christmas morning, Christmas night, when our Lord Jesus Christ finally comes? Two or three witnesses do not suffice. Not an angel from heaven, not an angel with two or three witnesses, but a multitude of the heavenly host communicates how important this is for humanity, for the universe, nothing less than the universe. Because what happened this day is the telling factor as to whether people are going to go to heaven or not. If people are going to live for eternity with God or be separated from him for all eternity. It is that grave. It is that important. And again, when we hear something so often, we can lose sight of what is actually being said. And if we hear about people and goodwill towards men collectively, we don't look at ourselves individually. And it is a message for each and every one of us individually. When our Lord Jesus Christ comes, the multitude of the heavenly host have to come, and they come because of God's condescension, because he knelt down to take on flesh and dwell among us. Light in this darkness, the darkness comprehending it not. Why didn't they comprehend it? Because he's a babe in the manger. His humanity is manifest to the world, but his divinity is hidden. kind of interesting to think about. He had been God, the second person of the Trinity, for all eternity. He's always God. He had always been in perfect union with the Blessed Trinity, being glorified in heaven by all the occupants thereof, and all of a sudden, he's an infant in a manger. And only the select know that he is truly divine. And that is these men with whom God is pleased that we read about. Yeah. A lot of people in our day and age, they look at everything so collectively. They look at the, everybody's taught how swell everybody is in the whole world, and nobody would ever be mad at them for anything because boys will be boys. Those are just the times in which we live in. And you know why? It's because we live in dark times. We truly do live in a post-Christian era. I'm not going to get into all the social things that are going on right now, but it is truly a post-Christian era from some of our pulpits. I'm okay, you're okay. Just come, show up, everything will be okay. That's not what the message is. It's a two-part message. Two parts. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth to men with whom God is pleased. Well, you mean some people, they're not in God's favor? Well, that's quite obvious, even at this time. Look at the shepherds, simple shepherds, the poorest of the poor in these days. The angel appears to them, and they are called to behold the King of Glory. And they bend the knee, and they go away rejoicing. But a king, on the other hand, Herod, what does he do? He is trying, and ultimately does, kill all the men children under 2 years old because he wants to do everything he possibly can to kill this Messiah who has come into the world. So it's not a matter of peace, goodwill towards men, blank slate. It is peace towards men with whom his favor rests or who are pleasing to him. When we hear that peace among men with whom he is pleased, again, it's not everybody, and it should never be taken that Jesus Christ is pronouncing through the Holy Spirit that he is delighting in man's nature in and of itself, but he is bestowing his favor on them. He doesn't think they're all right. That's why he had to come, because we're not all right. That's what the angels are talking about. Peace on earth. Why is that? Let's look at the message of the angels. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth. Let's go to the second part first, because the second part is integral with the first, but the first is the most important. But let's look at peace on earth. Why do we need peace on earth? And why does it happen when Jesus Christ is born? What does that communicate to us? That there was not peace between God and man before our Lord Jesus Christ. Human nature up to that point was at enmity with God. We were enemies with God. That's what the scriptures say. That's what enmity means. And he had to do something to fix that because he loves us that much. Don't ever lose sight of the fact of this whole enmity thing, please. Because we know from the Psalter, for instance, the prayers that God gives us, that, I quote, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They all had gone astray. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one." Not that there are some good folks around there and some bad folks, and you just got to kind of work through that yourself. This is God's perspective. He looks down from heaven and, seriously, they are all become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. That's enmity. God is upset with the way things are. And again, don't look at it collectively. Yeah, a bunch of people are bad, but I as an individual... King David, the psalmist, he writes about himself, "There is no health in my flesh because of thy indignation. There is no peace for my bones because of my sins." We have to realize that part of it. That's why we need peace. That's why we have received peace, the peace that we received in Bethlehem. That is what our Lord Jesus Christ brings to us, because he loves us. He didn't need to. He could have been just glorified in God with all the angels for all eternity and just let this place run its course, but he didn't want that because of his love for us. And he gains nothing by loving us. He is not more glorified, as I always say, if we come to church. He is not glorified anymore the more we pray. We should just do those things because he deserves it. Because, again, as I said, he loves us just that much to send his son. It is not just, don't look at it as a history lesson either. Well, yeah, those people back there, they must have been real, you know, but now we have Jesus and now we're all right. And no, they needed a Savior and we need him as much as they do. We just have to understand that. We have to understand that and take that away from this whole Christmas thing, because as one of the prayers said during Lessons and Carols today, there was a mention of Christmas comes again. It comes again for us every year, again and again and again. We don't really ever get tired of Christmas. We ought not ever get tired of Christmas. We usually get stuff. But that's not the reason at all. We get stuff because of we are celebrating this event. That's that peace on earth. It's necessary. It's necessary for just not the church, not just these people, not those people back in those. It is for all of us collectively and individually. But there's another part of that, and this is the first part, and this is what the angels emphasize, and that's why it is the first part. Glory to God in the highest. The angels are laying the foundation for this peace on earth. Now that peace has been brought to earth, let me backtrack a little bit. How did this peace happen? Because of the fall of our first parents in the garden, because that happened, the created order was separated from God. We were separated because of our sin. He didn't do anything for us. It wasn't due to, he cannot be in the presence of any sin. So what do you do if all flesh is filthy, as he says, through his Holy Spirit? What do you do to clean it up? Human beings can't do it themselves because they are flesh. They're all filthy. They can't fix it. How does God fix it? God comes and takes on that flesh. He reconciles flesh with deity. He knocks down these barriers that are between flesh and heaven because of sin. That's this peace. And this peace results in something. It results in glory that is due God for what he has done in reconciling us to himself. Glory to God is the result of peace. And not a subjective glory, not a glory that I think in my own mind is what God deserves. I will decide subjectively and arbitrarily this, that, or the other thing. When the angels say glory to God in the highest, they were communicating that they want God glorified now because of what has happened for people, just as he is glorified in heaven, and that is perfectly. He is perfectly glorified in heaven. Pope Benedict XVI, speaking about this very verse, he says, God's glory and peace on earth are inseparable. And when he's talking about God's glory, that's not us praying here. When the angels say that, they are speaking liturgically. They are speaking about giving God the worship that is his due. That's what glory is. Glory, fame, renown, reverence, all these things that are owed to God and the what he gets in heaven, he expects to get down here also. And if we truly have peace with God as an individual, we will glorify him, not as we think is right, but as he has shown us is right through the scriptures, through the traditions of the Catholic Church, through the teaching of the magisterium consistently in the 2,000 years of the church's history. And we're speaking liturgically how we worship him. And when we do it aright, then we truly show that we have peace with him. We know it in our own hearts. Others see it in us. Pope Benedict goes on and comments a little bit on this, and I quote, "There is no such thing as right action without a knowledge of what is right." End quote. There is no such thing as right action without a knowledge of what is right. I just showed how we get the knowledge of how God expects to be worshipped and revered, how His fame is to be presented by His church. And the beauty of it is we don't have to reinvent the wheel. We don't have to come up with anything new. We don't have to figure anything out. It's been shown to us. It's been communicated to us through, again, as I said, the scripture, the tradition of the church, and the magisterium. We do not have to be arbitrary about it. Because you know what? When we get arbitrary about it, bad things happen. Bad things happen when God is not worshipped aright, or when we do it the way we want to. Actually, things can sound so good, and they can be so bad. Things can be good in part, and if we do another part wrong or subjectively, then the other part is bad, making the whole bad. I mean, I hear the horror stories about how some people think they can worship God. Well, I don't go to Mass on Sundays because I can worship God on the golf course. I can worship Him in my fishing boat. I'm out there in creation. Well, guess what? That sounds all nice. But God doesn't say ever any one thing, nor does the church, about worshiping Him in His creation while you're recreating. He wants you to be focused on His worship. You know, I know people, I don't go to Mass because of this, because of that, and they're all excuses. They are all excuses about why, you know, I don't go to Mass because this, because priests that, this priest said that. The church does this. Those are all excuses to negate your responsibility personally to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't mean you, I'm just saying. But it is something to think about. You know, I don't go to Mass on Sunday, but I say my rosary. I don't go to Mass, but I do spiritual reading on Sundays. That's not, our Lord never ever once says, say your rosary in remembrance of me. He never says, do some spiritual reading in remembrance of me. He says, do this, the action at the altar, in remembrance of me. It's the only thing He says to do. It's the only imperative that we have is our attendance at Mass. And it's a Mass obligation, not a receiving the Eucharist obligation. I say about some things look good, but they can be tremendously evil. It's hard to believe that on this very, very special night, that there is tremendous sacrilege going on throughout the world as we speak. As we speak. What kind of sacrilege? The sacrilege of hundreds of thousands, and I use that term probably liberally, hundreds of thousands of people are in Catholic churches this very moment who haven't been there since last Christmas. And every time you miss a Sunday Mass or obligation, you become in mortal sin. And they're going to receive communion tonight because, well, I'm at Mass, that's what I'm supposed to do. Sounds good, but it is a tremendous evil. You know, I'm not, again, let your conscience go and know of folks like that. And think about that. Well, at least they're at Mass. That is a good thing. That's a start. But to receive communion unworthily is to eat and drink judgment upon yourself. That's not me. That's the Holy Spirit. And that's what's happening with hundreds of thousands this very moment. This very moment. We don't have to worry because God has fixed things between Him and us. He continues to fix things. It's called the confessional. It's called the Eucharist. We need to avail ourselves of these things to keep close to Him, to worship Him aright, because He deserves it so much. That is the angelic declaration. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men with whom his favor rests. Worship God as best you can, the way he wants to be worshiped, the way your church has always taught him to be worshiped. Do that as a result of your peace and in thanksgiving for your peace. Go away from this knowing how tremendous this day is. And every other Christmas that you will, if the Lord so deems that you take in air for another 50 years, for the next 50 Christmases, have maybe a little bit deeper understanding and a little more appreciation of exactly what we're celebrating to this day. Nothing less than our reconciliation with God. But in thanksgiving for that, worship him as we ought. Worship him as he has taught us to worship him. Worship him as your church has taught to worship him, as the way it always has. Not innovative, this, that, or the other thing, but the way he's always been worshiped through his church. And may the incarnate infant Jesus, for the next year at least, bless you with every conceivable grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.